Welcome to Offbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Offbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m. This is Vicky Brooks and my host.
Is currently the director of the Sonoma County Public Law Library and has dedicated his adult life to ensuring equal justice for all. He was born in Greece and migrated to the United States in 2014. He earned his law degree and is now a member of the board of the Letter People, an LGBTQ plus organization. Welcome, Nicholas.
Thank you for having us here. Hello.
David is a singer, dancer, chef, nature lover, and longtime vegan who currently enjoys making his living as a real estate agent. He has a bachelor's degree in music from Berklee College of Music in Boston and Cal State Hayward. He's performed in genres ranging from gospel, classical to rock, and ska punk. David, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Stay tuned to learn more about Nicholas and David. But first, here's news and events from Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of February 7th, 2021. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's best known for her conspiracy theories about satanic pedophilia cabals and Jewish space lasers, as well as for trying to impeach Joe Biden on his first day in office and accusing the victims of school shootings being part of a, quote, false flag, end quote, operation for the government to take away people's guns, is now co-sponsoring a bill that would ban U.S. embassies from flying pride flags. She even referred to them as, quote, hate America flags, end quote, in a statement supporting the legislation. House Resolution 85, titled the Old Glory Only Act, is her bill that would only allow U.S. embassies and consulates to fly the American flag. This is a direct response to embassies that have been flying the rainbow pride flag to support LGBTQ rights. Greene said, quote, during my campaign for Congress, I promised that I would always put America first, end quote. And then she added, the bill would prevent hate America flags from flying over American embassies. She went on to say President Biden's State Department has already raised a flag over our embassies that doesn't represent the vast majority of Americans. Greene went on to call Black Lives Matter a radical Marxist group and domestic terrorists that want to bring mass destruction to our country through communism. He claims that some of the rogue embassies have flown a flag in support of that movement. The new Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, said in January that the State Department needs to take a more active role in promoting LGBTQ rights around the world. And in Mississippi, the murder of a trans woman and her misgendering and reports of her murder serve as a reminder of the serious realities of being transgender in America, even under the new presidential administration. Dominique Jackson was behind the wheel of her car around 9:30 p.m. on January 25th when she suffered a gunshot wound and then crashed into a utility pole near Poindexter Park in the historic district, not far away from Jackson State University. She was pronounced dead at the scene. The police department misgendered her both in announcements about the incident and her death. Local media reports reiterated the police information, reporting her dead name as well. She was reported missing 2 days prior to her death, and posts from friends and family suggested that she'd been with an unknown man before her whereabouts became unknown. And here locally, the Bay Area lost two activists last week. William Hershon, a gay man and longtime San Francisco AIDS advocate and attorney, died on the 29th at the age of 67 in his home in Alameda. He's best known for his life's work rising up to bring help during the beginning of the AIDS crisis in the 1980s. and then Carmen Vasquez, the founder and director of the Women's Building in San Francisco and a longtime activist for the LGBT community and social justice, died on the 27th in New York. She was 72. Vasquez was best known as a butch lesbian who was the founding director of the Women's Building in San Francisco, helped found the Lavender Youth Recreation and Information Center, and the LGBT Health and Human Services Network Coalition. Vasquez passed on from complications of COVID-19. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane Sheridan. And we have husbands David Hall and Nicholas Pilecki's. And thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedules to join us tonight. Let's start with you, David. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your passions, what you do for work, your hobbies? Just give us an idea of who you are.
Oh, boy. Well, my main passion for most of my life has been music. And I'd have to say gardening and nature and stuff like that too. But everything else has been in flux. It changes all the time. I decide, oh, I'm gonna try this, I wanna try that and everything. But for a large period of my life, I've been performing and traveling with bands and things like that. And then I decided that I actually wanna make a living. So I've worked in many, really great jobs as far as like finance, and I worked for a nonprofit design association, American Institute of Graphic Arts, for many, many years in New York. So yeah, but I think my passions still remain music, and I feel like I'm, as I get older, I want to get back to the things that I really love and that bring me joy. And I also do my real estate, which I love as well. I discovered real estate when I first bought my place in New York, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, people can buy stuff and they don't even have to have that much money, because I didn't have any money, but I figured it out. And then, so now I like to help other people as well. Like, most of the people that I've worked with have been like first time home buyers and stuff like that. And so that's really cool. And I enjoy helping people find like one of the most important purchases in their life, you know?
Yeah. Do you have like your own business, or how would people contact you if they wanted to talk to you about buying a home?
Well, they can email me or call me. I don't know if you want to give my information on here, but go to Camp and Company Real Estate. So I partner with Julian Camp. So we have our little two-person brokerage. And we do a lot of great things for people. We work with buyers big and small.
And in Sonoma County or outward, beyond?
I actually have been going into San Francisco recently. I have quite a few people interested in buying in San Francisco because some of their prices are going down, especially for condos. So, I mean, before, you're talking about all these $1 million condos, and like right now, I mean, like you can get ones for $600,000 something. So it's because of course, COVID hasn't had an effect and people have been moving out, and actually they're buying properties here in Sonoma County.
I was curious about that in Sonoma County. So people are moving out, so people are buying.
Yes, they are. The market has, you know, it's been really good as far as for sellers. And so if there's any people who want to sell now, you can talk to me. And also buyers, because of COVID, there's a lot of great properties that are in the market, and you can even get a good deal even though you are a buyer. So I think that there's quite a bit of good things, and I think in spring it's gonna really get heat up, of course, in temperature and in the market.
And so Nicholas, what about you? Tell us a little bit more about you.
I will tell you, I heard that Sheridan asked David about what's his passion, his hobbies and his job. So I was thinking about my passion, and you know, after 38 years on this planet, I can tell that I think that my passion on this planet, in this life, is other humans. And I can see this in my daily life, in my hobbies, and in my job. What I mean by this, other humans, I think that I'm a very social person. I think I cannot live with other humans without connection with other people and interaction. Even this is like loving my husband, loving my family and my friends, but it gets beyond this. So my hobbies, I cannot think that I have a hobby that doesn't include other people, like cooking for other people or going camping and, all this kind of excursions here and there with other people and having fun and sitting around of a fire and talking. It's the communication. And of course, this also reflects in my professional career, if I can say this, everything I did back in Greece and continue to do here in the United States, I studied and I became a lawyer. And I think I did this because I had the need to be with other people and get involved in other people's business somehow, and bringing a solution at the end and helping people and making people happy and having results in their life. So yeah, I would say that my passion is a human, another human being, or many other human beings. So now here at the in Sonoma County, which for me, David was born here, but for me, it was a choice to move here. And that, I think that has a value. When you choose a place to move and to leave, I think that comes after a lot of thought, and that means that it's the place that you really like. So I live really happily here, and I'm also happy that I'm having a job right now. I've been 4 or 5 years now that I work for the Sonoma County Law Library. I'm actually the director of the Sonoma County Law Library, which is a public library that, yes, legal professionals use, but the majority of people that they walk into the law library, there are all these people that they are out there and they cannot afford a lawyer, or they are not poor enough to qualify for legal aid. So they walk to the law library and look desperate most of times, looking for some help, for some guidance. And this is what I do there. I have 2 employees, my staff, that they are the best employees that I've ever had. And we are a great team there, and we help people every day. And I'm very happy for this. So this is what I do.
What comes up for you if somebody asked you about a story of a person that walked into the library and needed help?
Oh, so the stories. Every day I can say different stories. Now I can tell about lately, for example, that many people, because of COVID, they face difficulties. For example, people, they cannot pay their rent, and they face an eviction. So they come at the law library, say, here, I got this paper. I don't know what to do with this. I don't have the money to pay an attorney. What can I do? So then we are there to guide people and say, you know what, this and this and this, the form. We give a guidance how they can fill out the forms. I mean, we cannot technically give any legal advice, but we have our way to guide people and show them what they need to do. And then they go to the court and they file their papers, and they actually get represented by themselves, or, you know, we help them anyway. We have very many resources at the law library, and we pretty much, it's experience. So many things are repetitive, so we know what they need, and we try to provide it.
That's wonderful. I just want to say that's beautiful work that you're doing at the law library. I want to talk to you both, because I know you're on the board, Nicholas, and I don't know if you are, David, with Letter People. So if you can share a little bit about that organization and what you're doing with them, that would be great.
Oh, of course. We moved with David in this area. He moved back, he returned, and I moved here almost 5 years ago. And we spent some time at the Cafe Brew in Santa Rosa. And it was one Thursday evening that we were there, and we saw a group of people that, you know, all, they were young, gay people, I mean, could tell. They say, hey, what are you doing here? Who are you? And it was how we were introduced to the Letter People, and they explained us about, you know, where the Letter People is, because of the LGBTQ, and, you know, every year there's one more letter. We are the Letter People, all the letters there. Yeah. And this is how we met them. And I guess since that Thursday, I haven't, there wasn't a Thursday that I was not there. So
that's true. It was, I mean, we just stumbled across it, actually. I mean, and then there's all these people sitting at this table. It wasn't that huge of a group. And we were sitting there, and it's like, okay, what is this? And they told us, and it's great to be involved. I'm not on the board, but having a husband that's on the board is almost like I'm on the board.
He participates in every single event that we have. So yeah. what Letter People is, it's a group of LGBTQ plus individuals here in Sonoma County that we try to keep the community together. Yeah. So we have our meetings, we had actually before COVID, but we will continue after the pandemic, every Thursday at Brew. And then every other month we have some events, like we do things like we're going camping, we're going hiking, we're mm-hmm. going to museums. So we try to have every other month we have an event or something. And then every month, as I said, we have our regular meetings at Brew that we just hang out and we help each other, you know, connections. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the core reason for it to get started was it was actually a chance for people to network. Is that was the goal, and especially in regards to business, like Sam and Michelle and Holly Gerritsen, they're small business owners and they wanted to support other LGBTQ business owners. And so, and that still goes on. So there's a lot of fun things that happen in the Letter People, but it's really about bringing people together, but also people like supporting each other in our endeavors as well. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten a few clients through Letter People, and I know it's really helped out Brew. I mean, like meeting there all the time and all these different things that we do to help support each other, not just to party and have fun, because mm-hmm. we have avenues for that. But this is also a chance to support each other. And there's a lot of creatives and people who work in the social services and different things like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people volunteer for connections. A lot of other organizations, especially that help the youth and stuff like that. So,
yeah. People, cool. They found job through Letter People. They found people they wanted, they needed to give job to them. And also, people found their husbands and their wives. So that's we had true. four weddings through Letter People. We that are proud true. Of it. Four. That's true. But Whoa. They came out of Letter People. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah, to have that community that you can rely on each other and support each other. That's wonderful. And I remember when I first met you both, David, we're at another organization, LGBTQ plus organization event. It was Sonoma County Gaydar. Gaydar, yeah. And I went up, I had my play, you know, I'm a playwright, director and whatever. And I had my play and I was looking for actors and I saw David, you know, him and I were the only two Black folks in the whole bar. And it's like, oh, let me go talk to him, you know, and it was so great to meet you and to talk to you. And I asked you to sing right there on the spot and you were so courageous and you sang right there on the spot for me. And I was sold by your voice. Beautiful voice. I remember.
I probably sang a gospel song or something. That's what comes out of my mouth first. Cause that's what the first thing that came out of my mouth was singing in the church.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And then your sweetheart came and introduced himself and it was like, oh wow, we could do this. And so you two were just incredible. I mean, you're great people and you have such energy, and it was wonderful working with both of you.
It was really nice. And earlier I said that this connection with people, my hobbies are always, and what I love is always with other people. Theater is something that is, it's a passion. But I actually had to leave back to Greece because my language was not something that I could easily use after I moved here. So when you talked with David, I thought that was a musical and I was so happy that he's going to go and sing there because he was singing. And then he came back home with Griff and I said, wait a minute, this is not a musical. I can do that.
And I'm like, no, you can't. This is my play. I'm going to be the star now.
And that's how then I met you, and this is how it happened. Yes. And thank you very much, because that was my first experience, my first attempt in English to pretend something.
And of course, he was stellar. He's my acting coach. He teaches me how to act. Oh, I said, I've done musicals before, but you know, you don't have to really act in musicals. But Yeah, he's teaching me how to be like a real actor, which is
Well, I have to give you an A++, Nicholas. You're a great acting coach.
He's very tough.
Yeah, and you came through, David. I mean, you seem like you've been acting. You held the position and it was beautiful. And the song was gorgeous. The way you walked up the aisle. Oh my gosh.
Well, why don't you all talk a little bit about the name of the play, when you acted in it, you know, give the listeners a review, because you all know what you're talking about, but if someone's listening to us, they might be a little confused.
Private Lives, Private Lies.
Yeah.
And David saying, David, what role did you play? You remember?
I played
Michael.
Michael, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Nicholas?
Remember my name? You should remember my name. Don't remember the name now, honestly. I remember his name because I was always using his name, Michael, but what was my name?
I don't know. All I remember is I was yelling at you a lot.
Yes. It was because he was calling me honey, my love. That's what.
Yeah. It's like now I call you honey and baby and all this kind of stuff all the time. And then when I have to say Nicholas, it feels awkward to say the real pronunciation of his name, because it's even more.
Well, whatever was the name, I was an alcoholic. That's all I remember. Victor, yeah.
Victor, please. I'm tired of this.
That's crazy. Oh, that's too funny, Victor.
Well, I remember I was on stage because I was the therapist, and David, your back was a little bit to me, but Nicholas was facing me because your sides were to the audience, so I could see your sides, you know, and I saw Nicholas like helping you out, like. You kind of froze on your lines. It's like, and then Nicholas, you're so gifted. You would give him a hint to his lines by saying something like asking him a question, and then that would jar him to remember. And then you guys were going, and it's like, it was so beautiful to watch that play off each other, you know? And that happens all the time in acting. If someone forgets their lines, you know?
It happens all the time in the house, every day. This is what we do here.
Like what? Say more. Like what?
It's like a similar situation. What we did on stage there, it was what we do every day at home. Uh-huh. I'm not an alcoholic, but we have a disagreement and everything.
Or I can't find anything.
So speaking about your relationship, that's a good segue. Thank you, Nicholas. So we want to know more about you two, how you met. Why don't you start, Nicholas? Start telling us about how you first met each other in New York, right?
Well, actually, yes. The story starts from me coming to the United States. I left Greece years ago, and I was living in different countries here and there. And then I was here in the United States for 3 months. And I had a long road trip in the South, and then I was living back to go to Europe. And I spent my last 10 days in New York. So I was looking for a place to stay, and I'm sure you know Airbnb, but there is an Airbnb that you actually do not pay anything. It's called couch surfing. So you're actually surfing on somebody's couch. So David had an account on this website, and I was looking for a place. And this is how I ended up at his place. Well, I surfed on the couch, and then I surfed on the bed, and that's how we met.
Actually, you never slept on the couch.
Oh, wow. I was going to say something, but you beat me to it, David. It's like, oh, is this what you do with people who's surfing on your couch? You just take them to your bed?
No.
We don't have to go into that, but go ahead.
It happened way before we even go home, because when I first saw him, he was at work. So we met downtown New York, and then later in the evening, we went back home. So, and the thing is that I stayed with him for that almost 10 days, and then I went back to Greece. I was in the Greek island working for the summer. And the good thing it was that I was working during night. And the difference of time is that when he was going back home from work, I was going to work, and we were chatting every day, every day, every day. And then it was when he actually made me think of it like, okay, should I try this or not? And then he visited me in Greece. He stayed with me. Mm-hmm. And then I took the decision to move to the United States permanently. And that's how I did it.
That sounds beautiful. Wow. What'd you think of Greece, David?
Oh, I loved it. I keep saying, why don't we live in Greece? It's a very beautiful, more relaxed kind of place. You know, you have this kind of family vibe there that's a little bit different. People know who their neighbors are. They know too much about their neighbors. You know, they're like, it's called, there's catenas where they're like, you know, looking out the window and stuff like that. Everybody knows what's going on. So when I went to his town, which is about the size of Santa Rosa, but it felt a lot smaller. It felt like a smaller kind of village because everybody knew everybody knew me walking down the street because there ain't very many people who look like me. And he made sure that I was dressed and dressed like, so I'm walking in this blazing heat wearing, you know, a button up shirt and like everything is like all fitted and everything. Well, people look like, what is he doing? Walking down the street, I'm sweating and everything like that. And it was like, he told me that I could not wear my shorts and my sandal. So they knew who I was, but everybody was really nice. You know, I was hanging out in the cafes with the grandmothers and everything during the day while he was going off to meet with his family or doing whatever he needed to do. And I was just hanging out. So, and I really enjoyed it. And then when we went to the beach and stuff, the beaches are amazing. So we have beautiful beaches here, but those are really nice beaches there. You know, like where you lie out on the nice soft sand.
Are you ever going to go and live there together?
I would like to retire there.
Yeah, this is our plan. We say that we will be here, we'll work, and that day will come and we'll sell everything and we'll go and retire there. Greece is a very beautiful place to live, but to live when you don't have to engage with the government and, you know, all these things. Just go there to live and enjoy. The quality of life is very good, but when you have to deal with government and work and all these things, it's not the place you want to be. Just go somewhere else. So.
Yeah, I think everybody's government is pretty up in the air right now, I tell you. Mm-hmm. Our government is going through its transition too.
Yeah. Well, I'm very optimistic though. I'm hoping that we've learned a lot from this whole ordeal. I mean, we've gotten uppercutted, we've gotten the elbow, we got everything, all these different hits as far as COVID, as far as poor leadership, as far as racism and all these things all hitting us at once. So it's just it's been challenging. So I'm very optimistic that we come through this and we learn, hoping everybody learns something from this so that we can rise up stronger and better.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great topic to start our next segment with, how COVID has affected you and being a biracial couple, I think would be a very rich conversation. But before that, we do have a music break. So I was wondering if you could introduce the song you brought and then we'll play it.
So our song is Tell Him, and that's from Barbara Streisand and Celine Dion. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we chose this song because whenever it comes on, we like to take one of the singers. So I'm normally Barbara Streisand.
I'm Celine Dion. Even though I have the nose, he is Barbara.
Yeah. So, and we usually sing one of the roles because it's a duet.
The thing is, you know what? I come from another country and all my, you know, the music that I know and the songs that I know, they're completely different and he doesn't know them. So that's the only song actually from the beginning that we really sung together. And that's how I don't know if it's the favorite song. It's not my favorite song. It's not his favorite song, but it's our favorite song.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. All right, everybody. Enjoy Barbara Streisand and Celine Dion singing Tell Him.
To show a care. If I tremble when I speak, there's another one he's thinking of. Maybe he's in love. I'd feel like a fool. Life can be so cruel. I don't know what to do. I've been there with my heart out in my hand. But what you must understand, you can't let the chance to love him pass you by.
And welcome back to Living Proof. You were just listening to Tell Him by Barbra Streisand and Celine Dion. The song that our guests love to say is their song. Our guests are David Hall and Nicholas Pilecki's. So welcome back, everybody. And we were just beginning to talk a little bit about how COVID has affected you and your businesses and your jobs, and
being optimistic about the new administration that we just elected. So we want to jump in and talk about that. And we want to know about you two as a couple, as a mixed interracial, you know, black and white. For those who are not in the studio, David is African-American, black, and Nicholas is a white Greek. Yeah, let's start with one. Yeah, COVID. Let's see how that's affecting you and this new administration. How is that affecting you, David?
Well, COVID has been a very scary, very draining. I don't know. I think of draining, tired, like about it, because it's just, you know, we've had to change our lives. And for some people, it's changed it in a really horrible way. Some people have passed away within, you know, our communities and our families, and so it's been draining. And all the while, I've been working for the most part, like still going into the office, but being the only person there, so, you know, and feeling very isolated and having to deal with these emotions while trying to do work and everything. So it's been challenging, but I am really fortunate. I've been really blessed to still have a job and work. Because I know for a lot of people, they've had to struggle through all of this and not get paid. We used to go out and stuff. Nicholas is very social. So he really wants to go out and everything. So I, you know, and I can't entertain him. You know, it's like, okay, I ran out of things to say. I don't know.
So yeah, this is true. That's I will take the other side. I'm usually very positive. Usually, I'm always very positive person, and I would have been blind to not see what David said about all this pain around us, about all this unorganized, you know, government that did a big nothing for all these lives that they got lost. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, yes, I was hurt by not being able to see my friends and hang out with them. We talked about these connections with other humans, right? I would be really, when you don't appreciate things, like I had my job all this time. We had to keep the library open after a certain point to be there for all these people that, you know, the courts are open and people still need legal help. So I had to be out there. I kept myself positive, and I was actually the person that kept many other people through Facebook and, you know, through all the social media to be there and for them, come on, it's going to go away. Don't worry. Come on, this and this and that. Yes, I struggled sometimes. As I said, I need my friends, I need my people, but I was blessed and lucky enough to have my job, to have the time, all the time of the world, to do whatever I needed to do at home, to fix our garden, to, you know, organize everything in the house and all these things. So I have nothing personally to complain I mean, my thoughts are with all these people that suffered through COVID. And actually, I'm lucky enough to have the first dose of the vaccine already. I got it 4 days ago because, as I said, we are frontline workers at the law library. We are in you know, immediate contact with them every day. And, you know, these people, you don't know who they are, where they come from. So you have to be protected. And I got vaccinated, and I'm really positive that by the end of this summer, people will feel completely different. And yes, I am sure that next year we'll all be hugging again and kissing again the same way we did in the past.
So there's some things that came out of this that I think we should adopt, you know, like when it comes down to like people, like if you look at the places that at first, like for example, China and places like that, they were suffering from this, but they also have this kind of culture of like, okay, if I'm feeling sick, I'm going to put on a mask so nobody else gets sick and that kind of thing. They think about their community. And I'm hoping that some of that is not lost. Like we should, you know, I'm not going to go out there and spread my sickness on people and stuff like that. And I think there's going to be other things as well that come out of this. And I'm really hopeful for, that we stay vigilant, and especially when it comes down to like Black Lives Matter and all those kind of things. I don't want those things to fade away. I feel like COVID has, because a lot of people were at home and really watching the news and all this kind of stuff like that, that they paid attention when they hadn't paid attention before, and realized, oh wow, they really do, like, you know, the police do target African Americans, you know, and stuff like that. And they realized and people started to stand up, you know. And so that's something that I think wouldn't have happened necessarily if people didn't have this time and their nerves weren't already raw from everything else, and be like, wait a second, now we have to deal with this and COVID. So I'm hoping that it continues and we start fixing some of these deep-rooted problems. It's kind of crazy that we have to have like something horrible like a pandemic for us to then start addressing the other really like disease that we've had in this country since it started. So
yeah, I like what you're saying, David, about that, because yeah, people were raw with COVID and then they got to see what was really going on that a lot of, you know, Black folks have experienced, and people closed their eyes to it. And so, yeah, we want that to continue for sure. Speaking of discrimination and racism, have you two as a couple experienced any discrimination or any kind of issues around being mixed race?
Well, I moved from Greece, where I can tell that, you know, of course, African Black people in Greece, it's something different, but it doesn't have that stigma, if I can say, of the slavery that there is here in the United States. So a Black person in Greece is just a Black person, a different person, doesn't mean anything else. So when I met David, for me, it was just a different person. I mean, different physically, okay? And that was it. There was nothing else behind it. And I couldn't understand any of this racism that comes with so when I first moved here, he was trying to explain me, and I told him, wait a minute, what do you mean racism? And I now, 7 years later, I feel so stupid. But it was all ignorance, okay? It was not that I couldn't see, it was that actually I hadn't seen anything yet. Mm. When I came here, I realized what comes with not just this person just being different than me. It's like the whole other thing that comes behind this. And I realized it here. So I, of course, I can't tell that I ever felt a discrimination by his friends or by his family or anything. And him back in Greece, he met my people, the people that they love me. So, and he's an adorable person. So I don't know, but of course he's going to tell you about his experience. But all my people, all my friends, yes, he is an African American person. He is different physically, but that's it. It's spirits. Like that's a people from France. That's a person from Italy. That's a person from Russia, for example, wherever. And that was it. As I said, nothing comes behind it. And I, of course, I never felt, I sometimes felt personally, because I'm an immigrant into this country, I felt this kind of racism, if I can tell, but you know what? I'm not the person that you can get this with me. I'm gonna take it the other way and just pray to find a hole to hide yourself. So I never bothered anything like this because we are a biracial couple. He can tell you his experience with my people in Greece or, but in general, yeah. And we lived in New York and then Sonoma County. I mean, come on. We never felt, I personally never felt discriminated. I mean, both these communities are very accepting and I personally feel really good, but he can tell you his experience.
I don't know. So, I mean, as a couple, I've never felt like, at least nobody has said anything to us or made us feel that way. But I had some, like growing up here in Sonoma County, I definitely experienced racism quite a bit. So I never really wanted to move back to Sonoma County. But I have to say, having moved back here, I've noticed that things are changing, especially, I mean, like, especially for LGBTQ, I never even knew there was anybody else except for maybe one or two other people. And then especially as an African-American as well. But recently, like since I have moved back here, I haven't had the experience with the overt racism, other than you do have a few of the crazy people, especially when it comes down to like, I don't want to get all political, but yeah, there are some people who are driving around with their big trucks and their and their Dixie flags and all that kind of stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, they used to do that when I was in junior high school and high school, you know, and telling us to go back to Africa and stuff like that. But since we've been back, I don't feel as offended. I don't let it affect me as much since I've been back here.
And that will have to do with me.
I get concerned because I'm gonna have to defend him, you know, like. So, and that makes me hopeful, at least like being in Sonoma County, I do see there is diversity here, but there's not very much interaction. I grew up in the unincorporated area, you know, in Santa Rosa. A lot of people don't realize that there are whole neighborhoods that were unincorporated forever, even though literally you could cross the street and you're in the city limits with like better paved roads and sidewalks and everything. And that's the city limits. And then the poor people, who a lot of them were black and brown, and we were in certain areas. So my experience growing up was a whole lot different here. And I do see that it's changing. I still would like to have more people involved, and I'm really happy that I'm seeing people getting involved, like Natalie Rogers. You know, she got elected to the city council, and also she's also the vice mayor now. She happens to be my brother's ex-wife, but she's still my sister, you know, and she takes care of my nieces and nephews. So, and I feel very proud about that, and I was happy to support her, and seeing more people get involved and everything inspires me to get involved. Like, oh, I can get involved, you know, and this stuff. And I'm hopeful that that's going to happen more and more. So we start getting that involvement, because there's quite a few of us that are here. And I think Sonoma County needs to showcase its diversity, because there's diversity here.
Yeah, so I want to ask you about your relationship a little bit more, about how has any differences between the two of you as far as race is concerned?
There are many differences, and I think that's the magic of this relationship. We couldn't be together if we were not that different. But I cannot say that this is the racial difference. It's totally the cultural difference.
Yeah.
So we entertain one another just because we come from different cultures. And that's what we enjoy with each other. He introduced me to 1 million different cuisines. and I introduced him to the Greek cuisine. I introduced him to all this kind of different music and dances, and we're dancing like crazy here in the house. And he did the same. He is a musician, right? He appreciates, even though it's Greek music, different lyrics, he appreciates the music. So I think these are the main differences that are cultural. I speak and he think, I talk to my friends and he thinks that I'm yelling, I'm fighting with somebody. And I'm like, come on. And I always say, come on, speak louder, be expressive. Yeah. But this is what keeps us, you know, not just together, but keeps our relationship interesting and alive and juicy.
You okay?
I don't know. I definitely agree. And I think I knew nothing about Greek culture, really. You know, I didn't even know he was Greek when I first met him. I thought he was from, like, I don't know, South America or something. But then I started learning about the Greek culture. I even started taking Greek lessons and stuff because I figured, you know, like the whole thing about him being loud and stuff like that. I was like, why are you so loud? And why are you like, you know, and then, but then also like some of his word choices. I'm like, why are you so rude? You have to use some tact, you know, and stuff like that. So I was like, maybe I need to learn his language a little bit so I can understand how they say things. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't say that we have any issues as far as like skin color, just like he said, but it is cultural. So some things it takes a while for me to learn, like, and to understand that he's not being rude. He's just, that's just how it is. The only times I think when skin color comes into it and I'm reminded of our different skin colors, like we have been pulled over by the police or whatever. And I'm like, oh, but let me be careful, you know? And he's like asking questions. I think during the...
Well, we didn't get any ticket.
That's amazing. He's able to talk his way out of a ticket. I was like, I'd be out there, out of the car. This has happened to me before, out of the car. They're running me through the system and everything like that. I think probably the one time that I was most concerned was like, we were evacuated during the last fires and previous fires. But this time we were trying to see if we can get back to our house. And they had the police all there. And Nicholas takes more risks than I would ever take. And which, you know, and it makes me think about like, this is how I grew up. And I was, and you know, you better be careful. You better be careful because they're gonna beat you and they gonna whatever. I was taught this. He's trying to go through there and the guy comes out, his hand on his gun, and he's yelling and screaming in my window, you know, and Nicholas opens the door of the car and stands out and he's like, get back in the car. I'm like, baby, get back in the car. He's going to shoot you, you know, and stuff like that. And I couldn't speak a little bit after that because I was petrified almost because the whole thing. And then I was like, you know what, like, it just dawns on me like how much of that has affected the way that I live my life, like living in fear, especially living in fear of the police. So those kind of things make me realize, oh yeah, we are two different skin colors and stuff. I don't live my life, you know, like saying, oh, I'm black. I don't live my, it's part of who I am, but it's not, it's different. You know, when you actually start just really thinking about it, so much like that. I'm very proud of like my heritage and my skin color and everything like that, but it's not something I really think about, you know? So that's what makes me most concerned, is like those kind of situations.
But it, yeah, in those situations, it shows up your differences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's move on and talk about coming out. We want to know when you knew you were gay. You know, did you know in elementary school, or when did you come out?
I think it's a completely different period of my life when I understood and when I came out. And of course, I didn't come out just one day. I was coming out to different people, different year, different period. So I remember myself, since I was a little kid, that I was always interested, you know what I mean, right? Being in love and, you know, having this connection and with girls. And then sometime when I was 12, 13, I caught myself. It was, you know, Greece, we're all by the water at the beach. And I caught myself like looking in men's bodies and I was feeling cool and nice. And I said, wait a minute, what is going on here? But I think I was so lucky that that thought didn't confuse me, didn't make me feel like, oh my God, should I feel this now or I shouldn't? And try to punish myself or to hide something or to keep it and, you know, being very frustrated and nervous, nothing. I liked men and I also was in relationships with girls as well. So it didn't bother me back then. I think that was something good that happened because this way I didn't pressure anything inside me. And of course, sometime after 17, 18, I clearly realized that I like men and this is what I like. And I started coming out to my friends at first. And then when I was 18 years old, I went to another and I lived in another town because of college. So I didn't really have to come out to my family yet. I mean, I never lied that, you know, I have this girlfriend or the other girlfriend, but that was it. And then when I went back to my town where my parents lived, I just came out and just told them, you know what, this is it. And this guy's my boyfriend, he's not my friend, come on. They all knew, come on, who am I kidding? And that was it. And I had a very good relationship with my mother. And my dad is not that acceptable. He doesn't accept the whole thing, but he's not that, you know, he's an evil person that will do something bad. Yeah, he said, you know what, it's your choice. Just, I don't want to really talk about this. And I, you know, I respect it. That's it. This is what he can give. This is what I will ask. I'm not going to ask for more than this. I'm fine. I love him. He, I guess, loves me, right? But he cannot just give more to this, which is fine for me. It's all he can do. But my mom, it was really different. She actually visited here. She met David. She spent almost a month with David and she was in love with David. So, and of course the rest of my family, all people, they know about me and they know about David. So it was easy for me. It was really easy. And I'm lucky that it was easy for me to accept myself. That's the most important.
Yeah.
But I accepted myself first. And I think that made the difference that I could easily talk and share this thing with other people, but I accepted myself.
That's wonderful that you had that experience and that no. So David, let's hear yours coming out.
I grew up in the church and it's a little bit different because you grow up and you hear people up there at the pulpit saying like all these things about how you're going to burn to hell and all this, you know, your eyes going to pop out and all the kind of ways that you're going to suffer if you like, you know. And then when they started talking about at first I didn't understand anything. I didn't understand being gay or anything like that. I just didn't understand. And when people said gay people do this or do that, or whatever. But then when it hit upon me and then going into church and everything like that, it really made me start to question and made me start to pray and like, oh, I think that this must be what they're talking about. And I used to try to pray it away. Nowadays I can kind of, you know, I can say it with a little bit more levity than what I would have before, because it was very painful. Even though my family never really said anything. I mean, like when I finally did think that I had to come out, they were like, well, you don't need to come out. We knew since you were 2 years old, you know, like I have three brothers. So, you know, my mom said, well, I mean, you're totally different than they are. You know, we do. even though they said I confused them because, you know, like I played sports, you know, I was good at sports and all these things like that, you know, playing football. And I had my little girlfriend or whatever. And high school and stuff like that, I never really had to come out per se. I think, you know, there were some other gay dudes there as well, so I feel like pretty fortunate in regards to that. And when I went away to college, my aunt had emailed me actually And she was like, oh yeah, Brother Bill is my dad. Brother Bill says that you're living openly gay and that he's totally fine with it. And so am I, and all this kind of stuff like that. And then I was like, what? I never, I responded back, what? Like, I've never talked to my dad about this. She's like, oh, you should, because he's totally fine with it. And so then when I went home for Christmas, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to sit down and talk to them, whatever. And there was like, my mom was like, we already knew.
So anyways, we're getting to the end of our program. And so this is the advice, some words of wisdom.
I proved unintentionally this with my own life, but I always used to believe, and I still believe, that we are our choices. And we are where we are now because we chose something last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Don't look for excuses here and there. Don't look for people to blame. Don't look for anything. It's you and your choices. Yes, very many different events around you, but it's your choice the way that you will face all these good and bad things that they happen around you. Plan your future for 1-2 years and then reconsider it again in 2 years. I realized yesterday, actually, because I was talking with David about this, like every 3 years, my life is completely different than I was thinking 3 years before that. So I think that just plan 1-2 years and then see where you are and make new plans from where you are in 2 years. Something like this, but we are our choices. Nothing more than this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Nicholas. David?
Sometimes when I'm looking for the right words, I look to James Baldwin. and I really like what this quote from him is like, those who say it can't be done are usually interrupted by others doing it. And this is so much about like, My life is like this, similar to Nicholas, actually, in the sense where we're trying new things and everything like that. And a lot of people will tell us that we can't do something, you know, and a lot of my life, people have said, I can do something. and I'm like, I'm gonna do it, you know, and it's taken me to so many amazing places. And I just encourage everyone to, you know, step out of your comfort zone. And then when you step out of that comfort zone, it just opens up your world. You know, it's like, I wanted to go to New York, never been to New York, but I went there, you know, and I lived there for 16 years, whatever. And I wanted, like, while I was there, I was like, I want to have a cafe. And I owned a cafe and I had my regular job. And I did all these different things, and I had bands and everything like that, just like stepping out there and making things happen. So I really encourage people, you know, like if they say that you can't do it, I mean, like, prove them wrong.
Thank you so much, both of you, for being on our show.
Thank you. Beautiful.
You've been fantastic guests. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having us here. It was like we are in the same, you know, the same room and drinking and talking. Yeah. Because we really like you anyway. So that was a really pleasant conversation.
Yes, we look forward to when we can like hug and hang out and stuff like that. So
that'd be terrific. We look forward to that as well, David and Nicholas. Thank you so much. And we want everyone to remember that, like David and Nicholas, you too can be living proof that through sharing your craft, your passion, your creative expression, you can make our world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then, good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCBFM comes from listeners and from Rocky, the free-range chicken, and Rosie, the original organic chicken. Air-chilled, non-GMO, locally raised in Sonoma County with no antibiotics ever. More information is available at rockyandrosie.com. Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Cheryl Cabanuck. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio, Sonoma County's NPR station. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next.